last week, I want to take a time to pray together. And I know this is something that we haven't been doing in the past, but this is something that I'm hoping that we could do more and more. And that is to not only pray in your groups, but then also to pray together as a congregation. We do have our prayer meetings. We will have one this coming next week, next Tuesday. This coming Tuesday. And we do have those prayer meetings, but then we want to take a time to pray together. And the topic for today that I'm hoping that we could pray together for is for all our children, for all those that are in our youth group classes, to pray for all those that are in our church, but also to pray for all the children that are out there in the city that may not have parents. Maybe there are children that are suffering and are poor. Maybe some of them are going through struggles because of their relationship with their parents. Let's take a time to pray for these children that God would come and be a father to them, and somehow that they also would be able to come and hear the gospel truth. And so let's take a time to pray for not only our children at our church, but then also pray for the children of the city. All right, so let's take a moment to do that. Last time, I think I asked us to pray out loud. This time, I want to ask us to pray in whispers. All right, so not silently, not out loud, but in whispers. All right, so let's pray for the children. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a great and powerful and mighty God. And we thank you that you are our Father, and that when we come before you and put our faith in you, that you adopt us as your children. We thank you so much, Lord, because you care for us and you watch over us. And Lord, I know that you care for children, for little children, anywhere from the newborn all the way even the child that's in a mother's womb, all the way up until those that we call teenagers. Lord, we know that you love them and you care for them. Lord, we know that you're working in their lives. And Lord, we pray for our youth here, our children here at our church, that you would continue to bless them, allow them to grow in your truth, allow them, Lord, to come and have a personal and real relationship with you. God, we ask that they would come to understand who you are more and more, and that they would also come to understand their own sinfulness. And God, we pray for the children's ministry and the youth ministry, that you would work through all the teachers. Thank you so much for Anna and Peter Brown and just the way that you're using them to bless these children and to minister to them. And God, I pray that you would continue to bless these ministries, Lord, that these children would grow in your truth. And God, I pray also for a special prayer for those that are outside of our church, those that maybe are in other churches, or maybe those that are that don't know you at all, those that don't attend church. Lord, we pray for those that don't have parents and are struggling and suffering, or who have lost a parent recently and are going through pains. Lord, we pray for those children out there that are suffering and struggling, Lord, from different kinds of abuses. Those children that are suffering, maybe because of pains that they feel from school. And Lord, they have all different kinds of thoughts going through their minds. Lord, we pray that you would send your people to see your work done among them. Lord, that they would come to understand how great and a wonderful God you are, that they would be able to find peace and joy in you, even though right now they might not feel that. And so, Father, I lift them up to you. God, we know that you care for children, and so we ask that you would take care of them and that you would mobilize your people, even us here, Lord, to care for these children. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well, and we're in April now, and this is the month where we do celebrate Easter, where we remember how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and how he rose again on the third day. And so as we think about this, I'm hoping that as a church that we can remember our Lord Jesus Christ, how he suffered and died for us and how he rose again from the dead. And I'm hoping that we could do that throughout this whole month. And also think about how what he did for us affects our lives today. And so I've called our sermon series for this month, Easter-Living Out Love. And today's title is Greater Love. We're going to be going through different topics through this month, but it's all going to come from the book of John. And what we're going to do today is we're going to go through some of his last words before he goes to the cross. Next week, we're going to be talking about his prayer before going to the cross. The week after that, we're going to be talking about after he's risen from the dead, just some of his interactions with his disciples. And then the last week of April, we're going to be talking about his interaction with other disciples that he's had. All right? And so it's going to be this, every week we're going to be going through some of the events that happened right around his death and resurrection. And we do have a Good Friday service where we will be remembering his death and his sufferings for us. And I really encourage all of you to come join us for that. All right, today's passage that we're going to be looking at is going to come from the book of John, chapter 15. And so let's turn our Bibles there. You can look on the screen, or you can look on your phones or your own Bibles. If you like looking at printed material, there are Bibles in front of you that you could use. So John chapter 15, and we're going to be starting in verse 12. All right. John chapter 15, verse 12, and we're going to go all the way to verse 17. This is the reading of God's Word. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Amen. This is Jesus speaking here. And this is during one of his last, not one of, but it is his last conversation with his disciples before he goes to the mountain to pray his last prayer. Now, I want to start off by asking you guys a question. And you guys don't have to answer. Just think about the answer in your head. But here's a question. Do you feel lonely? Have you felt loneliness in recent times? I know I felt lonely before, even being at this church before I became the pastor here. I know there are times that I felt lonely. I remember there are times that service would be finished and I would go outside and I'd be hanging out downstairs and not really knowing who to talk to. It was when my wife and I, we just arrived and we didn't really know anyone. We didn't know who to talk to and we would just stand there in the fellowship hall and just kind of waiting to see if someone would come up and talk to us. A couple weeks would go by and no one really would come and talk to us. And there are times that I really wanted to hang out with people, but I felt like I had no friends. There was no one to really hang out with. And so my wife and I, especially like the first 2 weeks, we would just stand there for a little bit. And all right, let's go home. Okay. And so we just went home. And so there are definitely times, even after I became part of the church, there are times that I felt lonely. And maybe some of us, we've felt this loneliness before. And I think that for a lot of us, because we are expats, because our home country is not Taiwan, for a lot of us, maybe we have felt that loneliness because maybe we have no friends here, or it's difficult to find really close friends, people that you connect with. Maybe it's because you're not married, and you just feel that loneliness constantly. Maybe it's because there was a recent breakup with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Or maybe there was a fight. You're married and maybe you had a fight with your spouse. Maybe it's because we live far away from home and we just miss being home and eating the foods at home. That's what I miss. I miss eating food at home. Maybe you're a person that have always felt lonely. And it's just something that you just constantly feel. And I think that these days we hear of reports on the news, online, where people feel even more lonely these days because of social media. A few years back, I went back to America and I started hanging out with some teenagers and started learning some of their new words that they come up with, right? And there's a new word that I heard, FOMO. Have you guys ever heard this? FOMO, which means fear of missing out. And so you're on your Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and you're looking at all the wonderful things that your friends are doing, and you're like, oh, I'm afraid that I'm going to miss out on what they're doing. And when you look at some of the things that they're doing, and you see your friends hang out, and you start to think, why wasn't I invited? You start to feel even more lonely. There's another thing that I heard, which was called TFTI. Anyone heard of that before? TFTI. So people would get together, they're hanging out with their friends, and they're like, oh, wasn't that fun last night when we hung out and we did all these things? And then a person that wasn't invited would say TFTI, which means thanks for the invite. Meaning they weren't invited, right? And so for a lot of reasons, and perhaps for a lot of us here, this feeling of loneliness is magnified, and a lot of us may understand what this feeling of loneliness is like. Well, the church, shouldn't the church be a place where people don't feel lonely? Shouldn't the church be a place where we are actually, we have this feeling where, you know, I know that there are people at church that I could depend on. Jesus starts off this passage saying, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so Jesus gives this command, and if we were to really follow this command and love each other, then people wouldn't necessarily feel lonely. Right? I mean, there are a lot of different reasons why people will feel lonely, even when this is going on. But if we were to really love one another and be concerned for one another, if we were reaching out to each other, then there'd be less and less this feeling of loneliness that people might feel among us. It would definitely help if we were able to love one another. I believe that loving one another is one of the most practical ways that people feel love and the way that they experience God's love. loving one another here at church is one of the most practical ways that we can actually feel God's love. And it's based on this idea where Jesus says, "My commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you." So then why do some of us here still feel lonely? Well, that's an important question to ask, and we're going to be talking about that by talking about Jesus' love, whose love is greater, right? And so what we're going to be talking about today are three things. We're going to be talking about Jesus' love, we're going to be talking about the world's love, and we're going to be talking about our love, right? Jesus' love, the world's love, and our own love. And the main idea for today is that Jesus has given us a love that is sacrificial, a love that is initiating, and a love that is effective or unfailing. And we're going to need to, and the message is that we need to live that out. We need to live out this kind of love. Again, the kind of love that Jesus demonstrates is sacrificing, one that is initiating, and one that is effective or unfailing. All right? So let's look at verses 12 to 14. We're going to be talking about Jesus' love and how it is sacrificial, first of all. Verses 12 to 14 says this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." All right. So Jesus says to love one another as he has loved us. Now, as I was reading through this, it was a little bit kind of like my mind was like spinning, because I was trying to make sense of what was going on here. And I'll try to show you why. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then he describes what that love is. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." All right? And then verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." All right, so Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." What I command you is what? So generally people will say this includes all of Jesus' commands. But specifically in this context, what is Jesus' command? Well, it says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." Okay, so the way that I loved you was by laying down my life for you, my friend. So you are my friend if you love one another as I have loved you, by laying down my life for you, my friend. Okay, are you guys? All right, so I started getting a little bit confused. Like, okay, Jesus says, "I've loved you, you are my friend, so I want you to love one another because you are my friend. I loved you, and I laid down my life for you. You are my friend, so I want you to love one another. But if you are my friend if you keep this command to love one another how I loved you, you are my friend." All right. The main point is this. The point is that Jesus has demonstrated his love for us. And the reason why he calls us his friend is not because this is a condition where if you obey my command, then you will be my friend. But if you don't obey my command, you are not my friend. It is kind of conditional, but it's not. And this is why. Jesus says, "I've already loved you. You are my friend. You are my friend. And so, since you are my friend, I've laid down my life for you. And since I laid down my life for you, I want you to share this love with other people." And so what Jesus is starting with is saying, "I loved you, and now I want you to go and love others the way that I loved you." Right? How did he love us? He laid down his life for us. It was done by his own will. He chose to do it. And he chose to lay down his life in a way where he's living for us and not for himself. He chose to go against his own will even. He was willingly laying down his will. He was willingly laying down what he desired in a way. Okay, I want you to think carefully with me. What Jesus' prayer was before the Father was, take this cup from me. It would be such a difficult thing to go through this crucifixion. And so take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. That's what Jesus prayed before the Father. And so he was willing to lay down his life for us. It was a sacrificial kind of love. Now, some of us might respond by saying, well, yes, that is pretty wonderful, and that is a great kind of love. And I might agree with this passage where Jesus says, greater love has no one this than someone lays down his life for his friends. But isn't it greater? Like, if you just die for someone, and you just take the bullet for someone, or if you get stabbed for someone, then you die, and that's the end of your life, and it's not so hard in a way. Because once your life is over, it's over. But what about those people, like a parent who has lived a sacrificial life their whole lives caring for their disabled child? And it's not just a moment where you die for them, but it's a whole life of difficulties and having to change your whole way of life for this person. Wouldn't that be considered more greater of a love? And I would respond by saying, yes, that's the exact idea. That's what sacrificial love is about. Sacrificial love is not just about me dying for someone, but if you think about what Jesus was saying, is that he was willing to lay down his own will. He was willing to lay down what he knew that he was going to go through suffering, but he was willing to go through it. Let me put it in different terms. Great love is about not just about me dying for someone, but it's about me saying, I am willing to give up the things that I think are right, my values. Okay, and I'm not talking about truth that comes from Scripture. I'm talking about subjective values that maybe you were taught as you were growing up. And it's hard to distinguish between these two sometimes, but greater love is about being able to lay down what I think is important in this moment. Greater love is about laying down the things that I want right now and thinking about that other person first. It's laying down my will. And if you think about what Jesus went through, it wasn't just one moment of dying and that was it. What Jesus went through was a sacrifice where he had to receive the punishment, an eternal punishment for us. It wasn't just a moment in time. It wasn't just one lifetime. It was an eternal punishment that he received on our behalf. And so it was a great sacrificial love. Jesus' love is also an initiating kind of love, a proactive kind of love. Let's read verses 14 to 16, the first part of verse 16. Verse 14 says this, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Okay, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, you are my friends, and I don't call you servants anymore, but I've told you everything that the Father has given to me, and so I call you my friends, right? If it was a master-servant relationship, Jesus has no reason to tell the servants what the greater plan is, what's going on, but Jesus chose to tell the secrets of the kingdom basically he was telling the disciples about the gospel. He decided to tell them, and that's why he says, since I revealed everything to you, I call you my friends. If you guys think maybe a long time ago when you were little kids, who were your friends? Perhaps maybe this is not the case for all of us here, but I know that with some kids, they say, you know, I'm going to tell you my secret. I'm going to tell you something, and it's because you're my friend. And only to your friend are you able to tell a secret, right? Some of us, we have really, really good friends. And the reason why we're really, really good friends is because we've been through a lot together and we've been through embarrassing moments together and we know about all of each other's secrets, right? Jesus says, I've told you everything and so I call you my friends. But he says this, he says, I have called you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. You didn't choose Jesus. Jesus says, I chose you. And so I call you my friends. And so it's amazing to think that he knew all of our sins. He knew what was going on in our hearts. He knew all of your terrible sins that you committed in the past. And he knew all about your sins that you will commit in the future. He knows the sins that you're committing even right now. But he says, even knowing your sin, I chose you to be my friend, and I've poured out my love to you, and I've given up everything for you. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus' love was proactive. He decided to do it. He took the first step to love us. It wasn't a response to us loving him first. He took the first step. And the last thing is this, Jesus' love is something that is effective. It's something that will produce fruit. It's something that is unfailing. Right? So let's read the last portion of the passage, starting in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, I have chosen you, and it's great that we could share this relationship with each other, but it's not just so that we can have a relationship with one another, it's also so that I can have a relationship with other people out there, and I want you to go and share this love with other people out there. I have chosen you because I love you and I've chosen you to have a purpose in this life. He says, I have appointed you to go, that you should go and not just stay here and be comfortable in our pews here, but to go. I've chosen you and I've appointed you to go and bear fruit. What is this fruit? This fruit is basically everything that is produced from a Christian life. Growth in the Lord, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, going out and sharing with people about the good news, and seeing that his kingdom expands. This is what the fruit is about. But then Jesus also says that it's a fruit that will abide. Or in other words, it's a fruit that will remain. It's a fruit that will last. And so it's a fruit that is, it's a kind of love that is effective and that is unfailing, and it'll continue to go. And so Jesus gives us a purpose, and he says, I've loved you so that you will be able to love other people out there. And that's why he ends by saying, these things I command you so that you will love one another. And it's kind of interesting. I think the English version here doesn't really capture what the original language says. And what the original language says is basically, it's the same idea as verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, everything that I mentioned up till now, this is all about loving one another as I have loved you. So this is Jesus' love. It's a love that is sacrificial, a love that's proactive. initiating, and it's a love that will be effective. It's a love that will bear fruit, that will last. All right, so we talked about Jesus' love, that is all these things. And if we were to able to share this love with one another, where we are being sacrificial, right, with our time, with our money, with our resources, where we're actually sacrificial to one another, where we're proactive and we're not just waiting like I was, just waiting in the fellowship hall, anyone going to come and talk to me, you know? Where we are actually reaching out to each other and reaching out to the people out there. And if we had this love where we would endure through all the pains and sufferings that we might face, that we would continue to go and share this love with others out there, wouldn't it create an environment where there would be less and less loneliness among us? All right, so we talked about Jesus' love. Now let's talk about what the world's love is like. And my basic question is the world's love sacrificing, initiating? Is it a kind of love that is effective and enduring? Is it this kind of love? Well, I think that if we think about it, we do see glimpses of this. So, for example, like I shared earlier, a sacrificial parent can exist, whether a Christian or an un-Christian, like an unbeliever. Right? We see examples of sacrificial parents who take care of their children. Maybe a child that's a little bit more difficult, but they're really sacrificial and they show love to them. A sacrificial friend who chooses to give some money to a friend who needs it, and it might even hurt them, but they give it to them. We see that there is a kind of proactive kind of love out there that exists, where a friend continues to reach out to their friends, despite the fact that sometimes their friends don't reach out back to them. But we do have friends like that that always reach out, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be the case where they are a Christian. Or a spouse who keeps trying to build a relationship even when the other one doesn't want to. And there are cases like this also where they are proactive and trying to continue to build up the relationship even if the other spouse isn't. And there are other kinds of effective love, or a love that produces love that spreads. And we see that in examples where, you know, there are possibly good, decent families out there, or a type of love that gives help and hope to others. So there are these kinds of loves, this kind of love that Jesus demonstrated that exists out there, right? But the difficulty is, when people are sharing this kind of love and some type of really difficult circumstance comes up where a person is hurt or where a person is not thanked often enough, right? So, or it might be a situation where the situation changes and it's difficult to adjust. And so what happens when people show this kind of incredible love but the recipient of the love is never thankful? Or what if the finances aren't there anymore? Are you still able to give? Or what if the person never pays you back? Or what if the person you're showing this kind of love to never appreciates any of the efforts? Right? A lot of social workers face this kind of situation. What if the one you love fails you? What if the one you love hurts you? What if the one you love takes advantage of you? Then the world's love, the way that the world's love is different from Jesus' love, is that Jesus' love is one that continues on and on and on. And he says, I know that you are a sinner, but I will still call you my friend and I will love you. But the world's love, it may have glimpses of what Jesus' love is like, but there's a limit. And there will be times when because of hurt or pain or whatever it might be, a different circumstance, where this kind of love will come to an end. And there's a limit. So we talked about what Jesus' love is, this ultimate love that endures, that's self-sacrificing, that's proactive, that will produce fruit, that will last. And we've talked about the world's love, where you could kind of see that. And when we receive the love from the world, it does help at times, but there's a limit. And so now let's talk about our love. Right? If we're supposed to be like Jesus, and Jesus says to go and love one another as he has loved us, in this way that Jesus loved us, then are we able to be like that? And how do we do that? What's going on with our own hearts? Well, we come to kind of a place where we will either be like Jesus Christ and follow his example, or we will be like the world. And the way that I want to talk about this is, I actually brought this from home. So I have a pitcher here, and I have a cup, a water bottle, yes, okay. So I have these things, and we, each of us, are like this. This, or a cup, or what have you. We have different capacities of love. And we're able to pour out love to each other, give love to each other. And it feels good. We're able to fill each other up to a certain amount. But once I'm out of water, what happens? I can't give anymore. And I start thirsting for my own water, for my own jar to be filled up again. I try to get love from other people, and maybe this guy's empty too. And I'm asking, can you please give me some more water? And this guy's saying, I don't have enough water. I need water for myself. I want to try to give water to other people too, but I don't have enough water for myself. And we're demanding each other of this kind of love, and we're hoping that someone will be sacrificial, that someone will be proactive, someone will come and fill us up. That's the kind of love that we might try to give to each other. And so we keep wanting, we have this need, and we might be like the world, where the world will try to give and we're filled up just a little bit and we're like, wow, that's refreshing, that's good. But then there's a limit. And we try to give to them, but then there's a limit. What do we do? Well, what I do is, when I'm at home, I fill this up from my tap water, but my filtered water. And if I turn it on, it just keeps coming out. And I could fill this up, I could fill this up, I could fill it up 100 times, right? And it's just flowing. It just keeps coming. And that's what Jesus' love is like. But every time we turn our eyes away from Jesus and we turn to other people out there, and it might be turning to other people in church and saying, why aren't you giving me more water? Or we might be turning to our spouses and we're saying, why aren't you giving me more water? We're turning to our friends. We're turning to people out there and we're saying, no one is out there to give me more water, and I don't feel the love, and so I feel lonely today. And we're stuck with this choice. Are we going to keep looking like the world looks, trying to fill up our own bottles or pitchers or whatever, where you will never be satisfied? Or will you look to our Lord Jesus Christ, who has first loved us, who is self-sacrificing, who will continue to pour out his water upon us? And a lot of times what we find ourselves doing is, yes, we do look to Christ. But even as Christians, there are times that we're looking to other people out there to fill our bottles or jars up. And when we do that, what we end up saying is, Lord Jesus, I would rather have these people's love than your love. I would rather have these people, I would rather seek satisfaction from these people than from you. And that is our sin. When we turn our eyes away from Jesus and we look to the world to satisfy us, or we look to ourselves to satisfy us, that is our sin. But here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus says, this faucet, or rather waterfall, is continually pouring out to you. Will you return and receive this water from me? This living water that is constantly flowing. Will you receive it from me? Because if you put this under a waterfall, if you put this pitcher under a waterfall, this will fill up so fast, and not only will it be filled up, but it'll be overflowing to people around you. You don't even have to try to pour and give it to other people. It'll automatically be pouring out to other people out there. And Jesus says, if you return to me, if you come to me, I can give you this kind of water. Will you come to me? And this is the greater love. This love is the greater love than any other love out there. This is what we're talking about when we talk about Jesus' love. And here's a more amazing thing. The more amazing thing is that as Christians, we might turn away and continue to turn away, but Jesus Christ says, look, I've already died on the cross for all of your past sins, your present sins, and even your future sins. You are forgiven. And I'm very willing to give you everything that you need to satisfy you if you would only look to me. And when he gives us his love like this, we are able. We don't need to try to want from other people anymore. We're able to be sacrificial. We don't have to think about, am I going to lose something from giving something to this person? Because I will constantly be getting from the Lord. Right? And as the Lord gives to me, I can go out, and even if I'm just around people, I'll be overflowing to these other people. I'll be proactive. And because it's the Lord's water, it's the Lord's love that's coming to me, and I'm spreading the Lord's love to other people out there, it will have lasting fruit. And so, I ask of you guys, during our Easter season, will you turn to the Lord and seek satisfaction in Him from His love, His greater love? I just want to do a couple applications, and I'm going to do this real fast. But I want you to think through some of these things. First thing is this. How can I connect with the Lord today? If you're a person that you feel like I've been kind of missing out on this kind of love, I do feel lonely and it's just, I feel distant from the Lord. And you're asking this question, how can I connect with the Lord again? Well, the answer is simple. The answer is turn your eyes back to Jesus. And basically, all you have to do is pray and say, Lord, I've been looking for my satisfaction and love in all these other things, but I know that there's a limit. So I look to you now, and I ask that you fill me up with your love. That's it. Just turn back to the Lord and say, I need your love more than anything else in this world. There will be times, though, even as Christians, where we will turn away. And we will be tempted to look for love from other places again. And if you catch yourself, and you're thinking, you know, I'm really wanting to defend myself with this person. We're in a fight, and I'm defending myself. I want them to see how great of a person I am, and I want them to acknowledge me and show me love. When I catch myself in that kind of situation, then I could say a quick prayer and say, no. Saying no to yourself is extremely important. No. I don't want this kind of love anymore because I remember that it has a limit. And say a quick prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I need your love in my life. And so that if I receive the Lord's love and I say, yes, the Lord has loved me. Yes, the Lord has taken the first step and has given me his sacrificial love. Yes, that's true. And you catch yourself in that moment where you're kind of arguing with this person. There's no more need to try to argue for this person to show you love anymore. You just say, I have the Lord's love, so I don't need to defend my position anymore. I can love this person now and try to hear out where they're coming from and show love to them in that way. So catch yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself that you have received Jesus' love and all you have to do is turn back to Him. Here's the second thing. How can I begin to show a sacrificial, proactive, effective love to others out there? I want to make it very practical. How can you show a sacrificial love? Be sacrificial with your time, with your finances. Be sacrificial so that you're able to show love to others. How do you do that? Well, one simple way is stick around longer at church. I know that a lot of us are really busy. We have things that we need to go back to. I know that we want to continue and maybe we need to get back to work or we need to get back to our families. And that's great. And those are good things. But then we need to be able to show love to each other. And so one good way is that I know that on a sunny day like today, today is a wonderful day, I know a lot of people will be going to the Triangle Park that's right next door right here. Just go there, bring your lunch there, and hang out, and you'll meet people from church. That's one very practical way that you could be sacrificial with your time. Right? Proactive, not waiting for others, but asking first. Don't be like me. I failed. I just kind of stood there, anyone going to talk to me? Don't be like that. Be proactive. Go and talk to people. Try to meet a new person today. Maybe every single week you could make it a goal to meet someone new. And the last thing is this. Maybe you can join a community group. Be proactive in going into a community group and getting to know the people there. Right? And then the more and more we do this in our church, the more and more we'll get to know each other, the more and more that we're able to get to know each other, the more that we are able to share God's love with one another, and the more we're able to share God's love with one another, we're able to experience God's love together, and we'll be able to go out and share God's love with this world. And that's the goal, because Jesus has appointed us to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so He commands us to love one another just as He has loved us. Let's pray together. Take a moment to go before the Lord, and maybe some of us, we are in that place where we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness because we've turned our eyes to other things, other people, and try to find love and satisfaction from those other places. Maybe we need to turn our eyes back to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been looking in all the wrong places, and I want your love now. I want to turn to you and show me your love. So that could be your prayer. Whatever God is placing on your heart, maybe your prayer is, Lord, show me how I can also be sacrificial, just as you were sacrificial. Show me how I can be proactive, how you were proactive. Show me how I can bear your fruit and expand your kingdom. Maybe that could be your prayer. Whatever God is placing on your heart, take a moment to pray at this time. Let's pray.